The Sick Lion. A lion, unable from old age and infirmities to provide himself with food by force, resolved to do so by artifice. He returned to his den, and lying down there, pretended to be sick, taking care that his sickness should be publicly known. The beasts expressed their sorrow, and came one by one to his den, where the lion devoured them. After many of the beasts had thus disappeared, the fox discovered the trick and presenting himself to the lion, stood on the outside of the cave, at a respectful distance, and asked him how he was. "I am very middling," replied the lion, "but why do you stand without? Pray enter within to talk with me." "No, thank you," said the fox. "I notice that there are many prints of feet entering your cave, but I see no trace of any returning. He is wise who is warned by the misfortunes of others." The Horse and Groom. A groom used to spend whole days in curry-combing and rubbing down his horse, but at the same time stole his oats, and sold them for his own profit. "Alas," said the horse, "if you really wish me to be in good condition, you should groom me less, and feed me more." The Ass and the Lapdog. A man had an ass, and a Maltese lapdog, a very great beauty. The ass was left in a stable, and had plenty of oats and hay to eat, just as any other ass would. The lapdog knew many tricks and was a great favorite with his master, who often fondled him, and seldom went out to dine without bringing him home some tidbit to eat. The ass, on the contrary, had much work to do in grinding the cornmeal and in carrying wood from the forest or burdens from the farm. He often lamented his own hard fate, and contrasted it with the luxury and idleness of the lapdog, till at last one day he broke his cords and halter, and galloped into his master's house, kicking up his heels without measure, and frisking and fawning as well as he could. He next tried to jump about his master, as he had seen the lapdog do, but he broke the table, and smashed all the dishes upon it to atoms. He then attempted to lick his master, and jumped upon his back. The servants, hearing the strange hubbub and perceiving the danger of their master, quickly relieved him, and drove out the ass to his stable with kicks and clubs and cuffs. The ass, as he returned to his stall beaten nearly to death, thus lamented, "I have brought it all on myself. Why could I not have been contented to labor with my companions, and not wish to be idle all the day like that useless little lapdog?" The Lioness. A controversy prevailed among the beasts of the field as to which of the animals deserved the most credit for producing the greatest number of whelps at a birth. They rushed clamorously into the presence of the lioness, and demanded of her the settlement of the dispute. "And you," they said, "how many sons have you at a birth?" The lioness laughed at them, and said, "Why, I have only one, but that one is altogether a thoroughbred lion. The value is in the worth, not in the number." The Boasting Traveler. A man who had traveled in foreign lands boasted very much, on returning to his own country, of the many wonderful and heroic feats he had performed in the different places he had visited. Among other things, he said that when he was at Rhodes he had leapt to such a distance, that no man of his day could leap anywhere near him; as to that, there were in Rhodes many persons, who saw him do it and whom he could call as witnesses. One of the bystanders interrupted him, saying, "Now, my good man, if this be all true there's no need of witnesses. Suppose this to be Rhodes, and leap for us." The Cat and the Cock. A cat caught a cock, and pondered how he might find a reasonable excuse for eating him. He accused him of being a nuisance to men, by crowing in the night-time and not permitting them to sleep. The cock defended himself by saying that he did this for the benefit of men, that they might rise in time for their labors. The cat replied, "Although you abound in specious apologies, I shall not remain supperless," and he made a meal of him. The Piglet, the Sheep, and the Goat. A young pig was shut up in a fold yard with a goat and a sheep. On one occasion, when the shepherd laid hold of him, he grunted and squeaked and resisted violently. The sheep and the goat complained of his distressing cries, saying, "He often handles us, and we do not cry out." To this the pig replied, "Your handling and mine are very different things. He catches you only for your wool, or your milk, but he lays hold on me for my very life." The Boy and the Filberts. A boy put his hand into a pitcher full of filberts. He grasped as many as he could possibly hold, but when he tried to pull out his hand, he was prevented from doing so by the neck of the pitcher. Unwilling to lose his filberts, and yet unable to withdraw his hand, he burst into tears and bitterly lamented his disappointment. A bystander said to him, "Be satisfied with half the quantity, and you will readily draw out your hand. Do not attempt too much at once." The Lion in Love. A lion demanded the daughter of a woodcutter in marriage. The father, unwilling to grant, and yet afraid to refuse his request, hit upon this expedient to rid himself of his importunities. He expressed his willingness to accept the lion as the suitor of his daughter on one condition, that he should allow him to extract his teeth, and cut off his claws, as his daughter was fearfully afraid of both. The lion cheerfully assented to the proposal. But when the toothless, clawless lion returned to repeat his request, the woodman, no longer afraid, set upon him with his club, and drove him away into the forest. The Laborer and the Snake. A snake, having made his hole close to the porch of a cottage, inflicted a mortal bite on the cottager's infant son. Grieving over his loss, the father resolved to kill the snake. The next day, when it came out of its hole for food, he took up his axe, but by swinging too hastily, missed its head and cut off only the end of its tail. After some time the cottager, afraid that the snake would bite him also, endeavored to make peace, and placed some bread and salt in the hole. The snake, slightly hissing, said, "There can henceforth be no peace between us, for whenever I see you I shall remember the loss of my tail, and whenever you see me you will be thinking of the death of your son. No one truly forgets injuries in the presence of him who caused the injury." The Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. Once upon a time a wolf resolved to disguise his appearance in order to secure food more easily. Encased in the skin of a sheep, he pastured with the flock, deceiving the shepherd by his costume. In the evening he was shut up by the shepherd in the fold, the gate was closed, and the entrance made thoroughly secure. But the shepherd, returning to the fold during the night to obtain meat for the next day, mistakenly caught up the wolf instead of a sheep, and killed him instantly. Harm seek, harm find. The Ass and the Mule. A muleteer set forth on a journey, driving before him an ass and a mule, both well laden. The ass, as long as he traveled along the plain, carried his load with ease, but when he began to ascend the steep path of the mountain, felt his load to be more than he could bear. He entreated his companion to relieve him of a small portion, that he might carry home the rest, but the mule paid no attention to the request. The ass shortly afterwards fell down dead under his burden. Not knowing what else to do in so wild a region, the muleteer placed upon the mule the load carried by the ass in addition to his own, and at the top of all placed the hide of the ass, after he had skinned him. The mule, groaning beneath his heavy burden, said to himself, "I'm treated according to my deserts. If I had only been willing to assist the ass a little in his need, I should not now be bearing, together with his burden, himself as well." The Frogs Asking for a King. The frogs, grieved at having no established ruler, sent ambassadors to Jupiter entreating for a king. Perceiving their simplicity, he cast down a huge log into the lake. The frogs were terrified at the splash occasioned by its fall, and hid themselves in the depths of the pool. But as soon as they realized that the huge log was motionless, they swam again to the top of the water, dismissed their fears, climbed up, and began squatting on it in contempt. After some time they began to think themselves ill-treated in the appointment of so inert a ruler, and sent a second deputation to Jupiter, to pray that he would set over them another sovereign. He then gave them an eel to govern them. When the frogs discovered his easy good nature, they sent yet a third time to Jupiter, to beg him to choose for them still another king. Jupiter, displeased with all their complaints, sent a heron, who preyed upon the frogs day by day till there were none left to croak upon the lake. The boys and the frogs. Some boys, playing near a pond, saw a number of frogs in the water, and began to pelt them with stones. They killed several of them, when one of the frogs, lifting his head out of the water, cried out, "Pray stop, my boys, what is sport to you, is death to us." The sick stag. A sick stag lay down in the quiet corner of its pasture ground. His companions came in great numbers, to inquire after his health, and each one helped himself to a share of the food, which had been placed for his use, so that he died, not from his sickness, but from the failure of the means of living. Evil companions bring more hurt than profit. The salt merchant and his ass. A peddler drove his ass to the seashore to buy salt. His road home lay across a stream into which his ass, making a false step, fell by accident and rose up again with his load considerably lighter, as the water melted the sack. The peddler retraced his steps, and refilled his panniers with a larger quantity of salt than before. When he came again to the stream, the ass fell down on purpose in the same spot, and, regaining his feet with the weight of his load much diminished, brayed triumphantly as if he had obtained what he desired. The peddler saw through his trick, and drove him for the third time to the coast, where he bought a cargo of sponges instead of salt. The ass, again playing the fool, fell down on purpose, when he reached the stream, but the sponges became swollen with water, greatly increasing his load. And thus his trick recoiled on him, for he now carried on his back a double burden. The oxen and the butchers. The oxen once upon a time sought to destroy the butchers, who practiced a trade destructive to their race. They assembled on a certain day, to carry out their purpose, and sharpened their horns for the contest. But one of them who was exceedingly old for many a field had he ploughed thus spoke, "These butchers, it is true, slaughter us, but they do so with skillful hands, and with no unnecessary pain. If we get rid of them, we shall fall into the hands of unskillful operators, and thus suffer a double death, for you may be assured, that though all the butchers should perish, yet will men never want beef. Do not be in a hurry to change one evil for another." The lion, the mouse, and the fox. A lion, fatigued by the heat of a summer's day, fell fast asleep in his den. A mouse ran over his mane and ears and woke him from his slumbers. He rose up and shook himself in great wrath, and searched every corner of his den to find the mouse. A fox seeing him said, "A fine lion you are, to be frightened of a mouse." "'Tis not the mouse I fear," said the lion, "I resent his familiarity and ill-breeding. Little liberties are great offenses." The vain jackdaw. Jupiter determined, it is said, to create a sovereign over the birds, and made proclamation, that on a certain day they should all present themselves before him, when he would himself choose the most beautiful among them to be king. The jackdaw, knowing his own ugliness, searched through the woods and fields, and collected the feathers, which had fallen from the wings of his companions, and stuck them in all parts of his body, hoping thereby to make himself the most beautiful of all. When the appointed day arrived, and the birds had assembled before Jupiter, the jackdaw also made his appearance in his many feathered finery. But when Jupiter proposed to make him king because of the beauty of his plumage, the birds indignantly protested, and each plucked from him his own feathers, leaving the jackdaw nothing but a jackdaw. The goatherd and the wild goats. A goatherd, driving his flock from their pasture at eventide, found some wild goats mingled among them, and shut them up together with his own for the night. The next day it snowed very hard, so that he could not take the herd to their usual feeding places, but was obliged to keep them in the fold. He gave his own goats just sufficient food to keep them alive, but fed the strangers more abundantly in the hope of enticing them to stay with him and of making them his own. When the thaw set in, he led them all out to feed, and the wild goats scampered away as fast as they could to the mountains. The goatherd scolded them for their ingratitude in leaving him, when during the storm he had taken more care of them than of his own herd. One of them, turning about, said to him, "That is the very reason why we are so cautious, for if you yesterday treated us better than the goats you have had so long, it is plain also that if others came after us, you would in the same manner prefer them to ourselves. Old friends cannot with impunity be sacrificed for new ones." The mischievous dog. A dog used to run up quietly to the heels of everyone he met, and to bite them without notice. His master suspended a bell about his neck, so that the dog might give notice of his presence wherever he went. Thinking it a mark of distinction, the dog grew proud of his bell, and went tinkling it all over the marketplace. One day an old hound said to him, "Why do you make such an exhibition of yourself? That bell, that you carry is not, believe me, any order of merit, but on the contrary a mark of disgrace, a public notice to all men to avoid you as an ill-mannered dog. Notoriety is often mistaken for fame." The fox who had lost his tail. A fox caught in a trap escaped, but in so doing lost his tail. Thereafter, feeling his life a burden from the shame and ridicule to which he was exposed, he schemed to convince all the other foxes that being tailless was much more attractive, thus making up for his own deprivation. He assembled a good many foxes, and publicly advised them to cut off their tails, saying that they would not only look much better without them, but that they would get rid of the weight of the brush, which was a very great inconvenience. One of them interrupting him said, "If you had not yourself lost your tail, my friend, you would not thus counsel us." The boy and the nettles. A boy was stung by a nettle. He ran home and told his mother, saying, "Although it hurts me very much, I only touched it gently." "That was just why it stung you," said his mother. "The next time you touch a nettle, grasp it boldly, and it will be soft as silk to your hand, and not in the least hurt you. Whatever you do, do with all your might." The man and his two sweethearts. A middle-aged man, whose hair had begun to turn gray, courted two women at the same time. One of them was young, and the other well advanced in years. The elder woman, ashamed to be courted by a man younger than herself, made a point, whenever her admirer visited her, to pull out some portion of his black hairs. The younger, on the contrary, not wishing to become the wife of an old man, was equally zealous in removing every gray hair she could find. Thus it came to pass that between them both he very soon found that he had not a hair left on his head. Those who seek to please everybody please nobody. The astronomer. An astronomer used to go out at night to observe the stars. One evening, as he wandered through the suburbs with his whole attention fixed on the sky, he fell accidentally into a deep well. While he lamented and bewailed his sores and bruises, and cried loudly for help, a neighbor ran to the well, and learning what had happened said, "Hark ye, old fellow, why, in striving to pry into what is in heaven, do you not manage to see what is on earth?" The wolves and the sheep. "Why should there always be this fear and slaughter between us?" said the wolves to the sheep. "Those evil-disposed dogs have much to answer for. They always bark whenever we approach you, and attack us before we have done any harm. If you would only dismiss them from your heels, there might soon be treaties of peace and reconciliation between us." The sheep, poor silly creatures, were easily beguiled and dismissed the dogs, whereupon the wolves destroyed the unguarded flock at their own pleasure. The old woman and the physician. An old woman, having lost the use of her eyes, called in a physician to heal them, and made this bargain with him in the presence of witnesses, that if he should cure her blindness, he should receive from her a sum of money, but if her infirmity remained, she should give him nothing. This agreement being made, the physician, time after time, applied his salve to her eyes, and on every visit took something away, stealing all her property little by little, And when he had got all she had, he healed her and demanded the promised payment. The old woman, when she recovered her sight, and saw none of her goods in her house, would give him nothing. The physician insisted on his claim, and, as she still refused, summoned her before the judge. The old woman, standing up in the court, argued, "This man here speaks the truth in what he says, for I did promise to give him a sum of money, if I should recover my sight, but if I continued blind, I was to give him nothing. Now he declares that I am healed. I on the contrary affirm that I am still blind, for when I lost the use of my eyes, I saw in my house various chattels and valuable goods, but now, though he swears I am cured of my blindness, I am not able to see a single thing in it." The Fighting Cocks and the Eagle. Two game cocks were fiercely fighting for the mastery of the farmyard. One at last put the other to flight. The vanquished cock skulked away, and hid himself in a quiet corner, while the conqueror, flying up to a high wall, flapped his wings and crowed exultingly with all his might. An eagle sailing through the air pounced upon him and carried him off in his talons. The vanquished cock immediately came out of his corner, and ruled henceforth with undisputed mastery. Pride goes before destruction. The Charger and the Miller. A charger, feeling the infirmities of age, was sent to work in a mill instead of going out to battle. But when he was compelled to grind instead of serving in the wars, he bewailed his change of fortune, and called to mind his former state, saying, "Ah, Miller, I had indeed to go campaigning before, but I was barbed from counter to tail, and a man went along to groom me, and now I cannot understand what ailed me to prefer the mill before the battle." "Forbear," said the miller to him, "harping on what was of yore, for it is the common lot of mortals to sustain the ups and downs of fortune." The Fox and the Monkey. A monkey once danced in an assembly of the beasts, and so pleased them all by his performance, that they elected him their king. A fox, envying him the honor, discovered a piece of meat lying in a trap, and leading the monkey to the place where it was, said that she had found a store, but had not used it. She had kept it for him as treasure trove of his kingdom, and counseled him to lay hold of it. The monkey approached carelessly and was caught in the trap, and on his accusing the fox of purposely leading him into the snare, she replied, "O monkey, and are you, with such a mind as yours, going to be king over the beasts?" The Horse and his Rider. A horse soldier took the utmost pains with his charger. As long as the war lasted, he looked upon him as his fellow helper in all emergencies, and fed him carefully with hay and corn. But when the war was over, he only allowed him chaff to eat, and made him carry heavy loads of wood, subjecting him to much slavish drudgery and ill treatment. War was again proclaimed, however, and when the trumpet summoned him to his standard, the soldier put on his charger its military trappings, and mounted, being clad in his heavy coat of mail. The horse fell down straightway under the weight, no longer equal to the burden, and said to his master, "You must now go to the war on foot, for you have transformed me from a horse into an ass, and how can you expect that I can again turn in a moment from an ass to a horse?" The Belly and the Members. The members of the body rebelled against the belly, and said, "Why should we be perpetually engaged in administering to your wants, while you do nothing but take your rest, and enjoy yourself in luxury and self-indulgence?" The members carried out their resolve, and refused their assistance to the belly. The whole body quickly became debilitated, and the hands, feet, mouth, and eyes, when too late, repented of their folly. The Vine and the Goat. A vine was luxuriant in the time of vintage with leaves and grapes. A goat, passing by, nibbled its young tendrils and its leaves. The vine addressed him and said, "Why do you thus injure me without a cause, and crop my leaves? Is there no young grass left? But I shall not have to wait long for my just revenge, for if you now should crop my leaves, and cut me down to my root, I shall provide the wine to pour over you, when you are led as a victim to the sacrifice." Jupiter and the Monkey. Jupiter issued a proclamation to all the beasts of the forest and promised a royal reward to the one whose offspring should be deemed the handsomest. The monkey came with the rest and presented, with all a mother's tenderness, a flat-nosed, hairless, ill-featured young monkey, as a candidate for the promised reward. A general laugh saluted her on the presentation of her son. She resolutely said, "I know not whether Jupiter will allot the prize to my son, but this I do know, that he is at least in the eyes of me his mother, the dearest, handsomest, and most beautiful of all." The widow and her little maidens. A widow who was fond of cleaning had two little maidens to wait on her. She was in the habit of waking them early in the morning, at cockcrow. The maidens, aggravated by such excessive labor, resolved to kill the cock who roused their mistress so early. When they had done this, they found that they had only prepared for themselves greater troubles, for their mistress, no longer hearing the hour from the cock, woke them up to their work in the middle of the night. The Shepherd's Boy and the Wolf. A shepherd boy, who watched a flock of sheep near a village, brought out the villagers three or four times by crying out, "Wolf! Wolf!" And when his neighbors came to help him, laughed at them for their pains. The wolf, however, did truly come at last. The shepherd boy, now really alarmed, shouted in an agony of terror, "Pray, do come and help me, the wolf is killing the sheep." But no one paid any heed to his cries, nor rendered any assistance. The wolf, having no cause of fear, at his leisure lacerated or destroyed the whole flock. There is no believing a liar, even when he speaks the truth. The Cat and the Birds. A cat, hearing that the birds in a certain aviary were ailing, dressed himself up as a physician, and, taking his cane and the bag of instruments becoming his profession, went to call on them. He knocked at the door, and inquired of the inmates how they all did, saying that if they were ill, he would be happy to prescribe for them and cure them. They replied, "We are all very well, and shall continue so, if you will only be good enough to go away, and leave us as we are." The Kid and the Wolf. A kid standing on the roof of a house, out of harm's way, saw a wolf passing by and immediately began to taunt and revile him. The wolf, looking up, said, "Sirrah, I hear thee, yet it is not thou who mockest me, but the roof on which thou art standing. Time and place often give the advantage to the weak over the strong." The Ox and the Frog. An ox drinking at a pool trod on a brood of young frogs and crushed one of them to death. The mother coming up, and missing one of her sons, inquired of his brothers what had become of him. "He is dead, dear mother, for just now a very huge beast with four great feet came to the pool, and crushed him to death with his cloven heel." The frog, puffing herself out, inquired if the beast was as big as that in size. "Cease, mother, to puff yourself out," said her son, "and do not be angry, for you would, I assure you, sooner burst than successfully imitate the hugeness of that monster." The Shepherd and the Wolf. A shepherd once found a whelp of a wolf and brought it up, and after a while taught it to steal lambs from the neighboring flocks. The wolf, having shown himself an apt pupil, said to the shepherd, "Since you have taught me to steal, you must keep a sharp lookout, or you will lose some of your own flock." The Father and His Two Daughters. A man had two daughters, the one married to a gardener, and the other to a tile maker. After a time he went to the daughter who had married the gardener, and inquired how she was and how all things went with her. She said, "All things are prospering with me, and I have only one wish, that there may be a heavy fall of rain, in order that the plants may be well watered." Not long after, he went to the daughter who had married the tile maker, and likewise inquired of her how she fared. She replied, "I want for nothing, and have only one wish, that the dry weather may continue, and the sun shine hot and bright, so that the bricks might be dried." He said to her, "If your sister wishes for rain, and you for dry weather, with which of the two am I to join my wishes?" The Farmer and His Sons. A father, being on the point of death, wished to be sure that his sons would give the same attention to his farm, as he himself had given it. He called them to his bedside and said, "My sons, there is a great treasure hidden in one of my vineyards." The sons, after his death, took their spades and mattocks and carefully dug over every portion of their land. They found no treasure, but the vines repaid their labor by an extraordinary and superabundant crop. The Crab and Its Mother. A crab said to her son, "Why do you walk so one-sided, my child? It is far more becoming to go straightforward." The young crab replied, "Quite true, dear mother, and if you will show me the straight way, I will promise to walk in it." The mother tried in vain, and submitted without remonstrance to the reproof of her child. Example is more powerful than precept. The Heifer and the Ox. A heifer saw an ox hard at work harnessed to a plow, and tormented him with reflections on his unhappy fate, in being compelled to labor. Shortly afterwards, at the harvest festival, the owner released the ox from his yoke, but bound the heifer with cords, and led him away to the altar, to be slain in honor of the occasion. The ox saw what was being done, and said with a smile to the heifer, "For this you were allowed to live in idleness, because you were presently to be sacrificed."